the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Okay, a little bit earlier than usual. Last word of music with Dee Reddy and John Cadell. And I think it's as ever a dramatic sounding intro for the last word of music. I think it'll be this from Metallica, Enter Sandman. Metallica, Enter Sandman. But John Cadell, can you imagine you go to the Aviva this weekend and you go on one of the nights in which they don't play that?
Oh God, imagine being imagine being one of those greatest hits of Metallica fans who shouts for Enter Sandman all the way through the gig and doesn't get it.
Because it's on the following or two nights later.
Yeah. So what you're alluding to is the fact that they're playing on the 19th and the 21st of this month and two completely different sets on both nights.
So that's Friday and Sunday.
Friday and Sunday, yeah. So the Metallica Uber fans
are going to both.
Oh, they'll be delighted with this. But the people who sort of dabble their toe in Metallica and know the Black Album and heard another couple of songs like that one that was used in Stranger Things, they won't be overly pleased if they don't get to hear Enter Sandman.
Okay. Yeah. Olivia Dean is on as well this weekend.
Is that all we're talking about Metallica?
We have to get to the World Cup anthems. We have to give ourselves time, John.
Okay. Well, we were just saying earlier today in the office that maybe, you know, to appease everybody, Metallica should do the main set different and then have the encores the same. And in the encores, put all the crowd pleasers.
That's actually a really good shout.
I know it is. Yeah, you're listening, Lars. Okay, sorry, go ahead with your Olivia Dean.
Okay, are you giving blood because of their campaign?
I give blood anyway.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
That is a pretty cool campaign, though. It's worth saying that they're asking their fans to donate blood. And it's not just in Ireland, it's kind of across their European leg of their tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play. Olivia Dean, a lot of people looking forward to Olivia Dean, who's playing two nights, Saturday night and Sunday night in Marley Park.
Yeah, and it's the first of Marley Park summer concerts that are being held this weekend, which feels really, really late because we've already had some of the Fairview Park ones and we've already had some of the St. Anne's ones. But yeah, gates open at 4 p.m. ahead of a 5 p.m. show start. She actually moved her Dublin shows from Fairview Park to Marley Park due to, unsurprisingly, phenomenal demand. She's just had a real year of it last year and into this year. She was named Best New Artist at the Grammy Awards in Los Angeles earlier this year, and she also won Artist of the Year and Album of the Year at the Brit Awards in Manchester.
Let's hear a little bit of So Easy to Fall in Love. The way I do my hair, the way I make you laugh, the way we like to share a walk in Central Park. I could be fresh air, might be the girl of your dreams. There's no need to hide. You're into me, 'cause I'm into you quite intimately. And maybe one night could turn into three. Well, I'm down to see, 'cause I make it so easy to fall in love. So come give me a call and we'll fall into us. I'm a perfect mix of Saturday night and the rest of your life. Anyone with a heart. Is she an outdoor gig type of act?
Oh, I think so. I was just thinking as we were listening to that there, if the weather plays ball, that is such a lovely summer evening. Yeah.
If the weather doesn't play ball,
people might be thinking perhaps Olivia Dean is the one. I'll actually be in Cork at CMAT at Virgin Media Park.
Okay, and I think Zach Bryan is on in Cork on Saturday
night
as well.
Yeah.
It's hard. Did you get a hotel room in Cork?
I'm lucky enough, I have family accommodation set up for myself.
You're very lucky because it's so hard to get it at the moment.
Yeah.
But I suppose the one thing that really is annoying a lot of people in Dublin, I think this is becoming a bit of a political hot potato as well, is how much public transport is there for places like Marley Park, St. Anne's Park and Raheny? You know, if you go to St. Anne's Park and Raheny, you have a long walk to get to the Dart, and then the Darts are fairly full as well. Mm. You don't look too sympathetic, John.
Well, who decides when these gigs are put on and in what parks, and why are they all clustered together? Like, why is it...
Well,
surely they should be near public transport, or public transport should be laid on to provide. Obviously, you can't put down a train line, but you can certainly have loads of buses available.
Absolutely, and I mean, I was one of the many, many people caught out after David Byrne a couple of weekends ago. Rained, and you know, I'd taken off my poncho in the hopes that might coax a taxi in my direction. It didn't. Two buses went past us, completely full. You know, I mean, to be honest, like, it was still a fantastic night, but I was still feeling the chill a couple of days later. And, you know, I find it easy to get about. There, you know, I saw plenty of people who might have had accessibility needs and stuff like that. It was kind of madness. And I do know as well, CMAT, I mean, I was just saying there, I'm going to see her in Cork, but I know of a number of people, this is anecdotal, but genuinely friends of mine who, like, live far Southside and ended up having to cancel or sell their tickets to go see her on the week of, that they had booked months in advance because they found out that the Dart wouldn't be running that far that weekend and they weren't going to be able to, they knew they wouldn't be able to get back across to relieve the babysitter.
Okay, listener says, shout out for the Beyond the Pale Festival. It was a super, super weekend. Great bands, great vibe and great staff and vendors to look after us,
cool,
says Aidan and Claire. Let's get your picks of the week out of the way so we have time for all of these anthems. John, you've gone for Greta Van Fleet.
Well,
that's a good act.
Well, I'll tell you now, Matt, there's been nothing this week that I've liked that's come out. Nothing. Some weeks are just like that.
Not even a re-release.
Not even a re-release. There was a version of the Waterboys doing Knocking on Heaven's Door, but I thought that'd be far too much of a parody of myself to suggest that. But this one's for you, Matt, because I know you like this band because they sound a bit like a band that you know. Which is Led Zeppelin. Well, that's the brush they're painted with anyway.
It's the brush you're painting him with.
Well, yeah, so this one's, I actually don't like this, but I think you will. So,
thanks, John.
So this one's for you. It's Greta Van Fleet and their new I Can't Believe It's Not Zeppelin single called Play Your Games.
Yes, the distinctive sound of Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah, the distinctive sound is right. Yeah, it's grand, though, isn't
crack,
it?
You like that a bit more than you'd let on.
A little smile on his face there, look.
He's a little smile on your face, is that, John?
Because I thought of him.
Yeah.
What's your pick of the week, T?
Mine could be named for John, in fact. It is a new artist called Who's Your Man, a.k.a. Paul Savage, formerly of Choice Music Prize winning band O Emperor. He has previously been dubbed one of Ireland's most inventive and incisive songwriters, and his new single Long Stretch is coming out this Thursday on June 18th. It's called, as I said, Long Stretch, and it's great. It's just all about being an independent artist and trying to make it, and to that end the single isn't actually going to be available through Spotify, so if you like what you hear, you'll have to find it
elsewhere. Well, then how's he going to make it?
Let's hear it.
Some days I'm just grateful for the oxygen. I'm getting pretty good at the art of bed sitting. There's always someone to hang on every word. The many gurus of the basic.
That's really good.
Yeah, do you
that's
like that?
That's really good.
Yeah, it puts me in mind of the Divine Comedy a bit.
But he's not giving himself much of a chance of breaking through if he's not going to be on Spotify.
Well, it's for ethical reasons, so you kind of have to respect that.
Yeah, but it's the only game in town. But it's really good and it deserves a huge audience.
Yeah.
I love that rumbling bass.
Okay. Yeah, it's good.
Tell me, has Rod Stewart managed to discover a cure for upper respiratory infections and laryngitis?
Well, the last time I checked, Matt, you didn't need your mouth to watch a football match. So the story.
But if you're suffering from an acute upper respiratory infection, surely you wouldn't be able to take a flight to Boston to go and watch Scotland play Haiti in the World Cup.
Why do they expect him to sing on the plane? Like, why can't he?
Like, people need to catch a grip about this, I think. You know, do you, like, the man is a musical legend. He's performed to millions of people around the world, sometimes in one gig in Rio de Janeiro. And, like, at the end of the day, when he's kicking the football off the stage as he does at all of his concerts to kind of have a bit of crack with the crowd, do you really want him wishing he was somewhere else?
Why didn't he cancel it months ago when the draw was made, when he knew Scotland were going to be playing that night?
Because he didn't have laryngitis then.
I feel like we haven't given enough context
here. Yeah, we probably haven't.
He cancelled a gig an hour before it was due to start.
He had a doctor's note.
With a doctor's note saying that he had acute laryngitis, and less than a day later he was spotted in Boston watching one of the World Cup matches, and fans are in uproar about this. But
I mean, this is a man who once had one of the largest satellite dishes in the world so that he could watch soccer in the UK from America.
Well, are you suggesting, Dee, that he pulled a sickie to go to the match?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, why would you expect him, if he was sick anyway, to not take the opportunity to go to a football match that he wants to see?
I think some people are thinking that he cried off sick to go to the match, but I don't think so. There was pictures of him raising his arms in the air. There weren't pictures of him singing the referee.
I wonder, will he sing along with what's been called the very unofficial Scotland World Cup song by JJ Bull? Tell us about this.
Apparently it's being called VAR sound system, which is very, very good.
Oh, that's
clever. Excellent.
JJ Bull, the very unofficial Scotland World Cup song. It is what it says. It's just like to rouse the lads in blue when they're hopefully winning another game or two at the World Cup. But yeah, everyone's talking about it. It's the song of the moment.
Rod Stewart did the 1976 Scotland one.
He did indeed. Scotland, they're not really known for their massive World Cup hit songs.
Known for their massive World Cup performances either.
No, that's true.
They've never gotten out of the group stage. They have a chance now.
Yeah, they have a chance now.
Although I think they might have needed more goals against Haiti in winning. Let's actually hear that Rod Stewart one from 1978. All right, that's enough of it. You should have got laryngitis for that one.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Poor Shakira and Burna Boy, though. They're getting Burna Boyed. Like, everybody seems to be going for the unofficial choices.
I suppose we have to start with our own favourite, the Irish favourite. Put him under pressure.
Oh, yeah. Ah, gee.
Do we not just end the segment now?
Like, and we're not just like, play the song. We don't have to talk. Play the whole thing.
I don't think we have it available to us to play the whole thing. I can only play
one. Someone went and clipped that for us.
I think we've peaked too soon.
Okay, well, yeah, all right, fair enough. But tell us a little bit about that. Why did that work so well?
I don't know. Maybe because...
Was it the hook from Derek Doom, for example?
Yeah, well, there was also Give It a Lash Jack was out that year as well, wasn't it?
That was a great one.
But people don't remember Give It a Lash Jack with the same fondness that they remember Put Him Under Pressure. Is it because it sort of has this sort of rallying call to it? Like, Give It a Lash Jack is like, I do your best, but this one's like, come on! And that's the difference.
This had the ooh-ah Paul McGrath bit.
It had everything. Yeah, it had, like...
Imagine it have a whole, like, an album.
It has
of,
an Illan pipe solo in it, for well. God's sake.
Well, this was Larry Mullen, who's a genuine football fan. The yeah. U2 drummer produced it.
He produced it, yeah.
But he managed to meld everything together.
It's a compelling track.
Why do you love it, Dee?
For me, it's just pure nostalgia. It was probably the first football anthem I ever knew, if it's arguably.
Although it was incredibly optimistic, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that's
that was the era that was the world we were living in.
I think that's probably why people still like it. And also, it's a hell of a riff.
The Darragh Doom.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Okay.
It stands up as a song that, like, I mean, it's still very obviously a football anthem, but it does stand up as a song. You're not cringing when you listen back to it.
Yeah. That's a very important point, because how many of the World Cup anthems things do you end up cringing at?
Well, we just had Rod.
Yeah, we had Rod.
Yeah.
The one, Scotland 78, Olé Olá.
I think the ones that we're looking at here, like, there's a fair few of them that are bangers.
Well, let's hear it. We only have short clips from each of them.
I know.
To say.
That's all right.
Is it? You're not going to complain. Okay.
Well, now that I know.
Right. You know what? Let's take one that I think, management. Which actually, this isn't a World Cup song. This is a Euro 26 song. And I think we've sort of stolen this one from Northern Ireland. Hmm. It was played in Lansdowne Road after the epic victory against Portugal in the World Cup qualifiers recently and had everyone up. Gala, Freed from Desire.
See, it's the chant, just the ability to chant that, that makes that popular.
It's also interesting that you say that it came from the Euro 2016, because that's almost answers the question about put them under pressure. They're not net, they become so iconic and they become about the team and about the supporters that it doesn't really matter which tournament they were anchored to originally.
Yeah, well, see, this one was the Northern Ireland player Will Griggs, who was associated with. But as I said, we seem to have taken it now for the Irish team. Okay, let's go international. The 2010 World Cup and Shakira, Waka Waka.
Time for Africa. Very catchy. You don't hear them singing it in the stands, but it's a very, very catchy song.
Listener says Elvis Presley's song, A Little Less Talk, A Little More Action. I think that was used by one of the TV stations in a World Cup, BBC.
I think it might have been on an ad where lots of really famous footballers were kicking footballs at the screen.
Is that what it was?
I think it might have been, yeah.
Yes, okay.
Right. Elvis versus JXL, I think it was.
You know, in fairness, I have to say the English at times have come up with some better songs than football efforts.
Like Three Lions is just an incredible melody.
It's annoying how much of a banger it is, because you don't want to be caught singing along to it.
It's the descending bass, and it's like it's so beatly, and it's just so catchy. The chorus, you'd sing it all day, and then you remember what you're singing. But like, if it wasn't for those two tone-deaf lads from that TV show,
because
they haven't a note, bless them. But
they had the lightning seeds carrying them along.
That's the most part of it, though, isn't it? Having, like, it doesn't necessarily need, like, that they're almost showing, you can sing this too.
But it's such a good song. Melody-wise, it's so good. And even, you know, the lyrics and the sort of, what they cut in, the commentary and the crowd going crazy. It does.
Well produced.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, football's coming home.
It's great. It's great.
Let's hear a bit of it. It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming.
I'm not surprised that the English get so riled up and so excited for their team when there's a song.
They
know
how to do it musically.
They really do. They really do.
Well, let's give another example from 1990, I think it was, New Order, World in Motion.
Yeah. See, I think New Order fans love that, but hardly anyone else does. Yeah. It's not one of
it's
those.
Not, you're not chanting that.
The English squad sang on that, didn't they?
Well, you could call it that, yeah. Didn't John Barnes rap on it?
John Barnes rapped. I'm just thinking as well, Glenn Hoddle would have been gone because at one stage, Chris Waddle and Glenn Hoddle, I think, brought a single together.
Diamond Lights.
You know the name of it, John. Mm-hmm.
Were they actually right, called Waddle and Hoddle?
Whatever like their names, Chris Waddle and Glenn Hoddle.
Hoddle and Waddle, yeah.
Hoddle and Waddle, yeah.
Right.
And Chris Waddle missed a penalty in 1990 in the World Cup for England as well.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, when World in Motion was ball going into orbit and space in motion.
Yeah.
And then like there's another flying over my head.
That's okay. There's another one then. Fat Les and Vince.
I like this one.
Is this an original melody? I don't know if it is because it's really good. Like it's ridiculous, the song, but it's really, really good too.
Let's hear it.
They're so cocky all the time and they never play.
But sorry, there has a real feel of the Terraces about that, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely.
So it was actually originally written as a parody of football chants.
Was it?
Yeah, and then they realised, oh, hang about.
It is
we've
one.
Got something here.
Yeah, yeah. It's brilliant. That's another brilliant song. You know, you have to feel sorry for the English because they do, they put themselves out there all the time with these incredible World Cup songs. And just if football's coming home, it certainly
wasn't that
its
beaten
time.
By Badil and Skinner and Lightning Seeds in the charts
possibly,
as well.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
it only ever.
But
got
see,
to
there's one that I just thought of as well, which always sums up a World Cup for me. Nessun Dorma from the 1990 World Cup, which made everyone suddenly love opera.
Yeah, that's true. But you can't, you know, you can't help that. There's always a like cloud in the silver lining.
Are there any others that we would think of? What were you telling me off air, Dee, about this a phenomenon at the moment?
Yeah, so there's a guy called, he's a streamer called iShowSpeed. And say Monday, about 2 weeks ago, he released his own official, unofficial track called World Cup Champions. Now, he's very, very smart. I mean, the guy has like 56 million followers, subscribers on YouTube. But the entire first minute of the track is literally him just listing all of the countries that are taking part. And then it gets into a real football chanty, whistles, the whole kit and caboodle. But like by the following day, I think it had over 1 million watches.
That's 9-year-olds for you.
People were petitioning.
It's
FIFA.
True though. No, my kids are doing that.
Petitioning
crap all
FIFA
the time.
To adopt it as the real anthem instead of Die Die by Shakira and Burna Boy.
Okay. And somebody else pointed out, didn't Bono do something for a European Championship once or a World
That's
Cup
right,
as well?
That's right, with some dance
he
producer,
did.
Yeah.
Can we remember it? I got to finish there. John Cadell, D-Ready, thank you.
The last word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.